God, your word is anointed, and as I read it and they read it, Lord, may it touch our hearts and renew faith in us, God, to believe what your word says. Anoint me. Help me, Lord, to bring your word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is Healing, What Would Jesus Do? Healing, What Would Jesus Do? And in the Assembly of God, we have 16 fundamental doctrines. 16 fundamental doctrines. And Cheryl, our secretary, has ordered more of this. I don't think we have this brochure out there right now, but she's ordered more. There are 16 fundamental doctrines. There is other flyers out there that tell you stuff about the Assemblies of God if you want to pick them up at that table out there. These things are what we believe and what we teach as Assembly of God churches. Four of them are considered cardinal doctrines. If any of you have been brought up or had relationship in Catholicism, Catholic Church, then you would know what cardinal doctrines are, and they are generally basic importance. Number five is salvation. Number seven is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number 12, divine healing. And the last one, number 13, the blessed hope, or generally referred to as the rapture. And if any of you have been Royal Rangers, you should know all of those cardinal doctrines for sure. I love to teach our doctrines because I figure if I'm teaching what the Assembly of God believes, I can't get into trouble, right? I didn't hear too much on that. Come on. In recent years, Christians have accepted the challenge of WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? If you've read any of the Gospels, you know that when he faced sickness of any kind, he healed. So if we truly want to do what Jesus would do, we have to pray for the sick and believe that God's going to touch and heal them. Amen. It's important for us to build our faith by looking at scriptures that tell us. And here, number one, Jesus healed the sick. Number two, Jesus gave his disciples the divine power to heal the sick. And number three, he left instructions for us, his church, to heal. So we're going to begin with Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Matthew 4, verses 23 and 24. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them, preaching the gospel, the good news, and healing the sick. They go together. They go together, preaching salvation and healing. And they come to us in the atonement. Jesus gave us both the forgiveness of sins with the promise of eternal life and healing for our bodies. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought punishment for sin, which is death, and that brought sickness, which leads to death. Jesus came to give us the remedy for them both. You know, when he went to Peter's house, they found his mother-in-law in bed with a fever. Jesus touched her hand and healed her. And Matthew confirms how Jesus' atonement brought our healing in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Matthew 8:16-17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And this followed upon his touching and healing Peter's mother-in-law. You see the verse ahead of that, the two verses ahead of this. That's what they're telling us about. And these verses that he quoted are from Isaiah 53:4-5. And if you want to write down verses for healing, that particular portion in Isaiah is really a blessing. He was wounded, you know, for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. He paid for our healing by the stripes, by the beating that he took on his body. And so for further confirmation, you'll go to 1 Peter 2:24. This is a portrayal of Jesus on the cross so that we think about his atonement. He paid for our healing. He paid for our salvation. And then we go to 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins, live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You have been. I think you can bring up the next slide. He paid the price. He paid the price for healing as he went about preaching. He proved his deliverance by healing. What would Jesus do? He would heal. He would go about healing the sick. Matthew, the 9th chapter, ties all of this together. We begin with forgiving of sins, the healing of the paralyzed man. Matthew 9:1-8. If you think this is somewhat like a Bible study, it probably is, because most of the time I'm known for teaching, not preaching. So Matthew 9:1-8. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." The man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. So God has given this authority to men. Jesus, in his short ministry on earth, laid the foundation for our work, our ministry, and that's what we're to follow. In verse 23, you see, he healed a woman with an issue of blood. In verse 25, he raised a little girl from her deathbed. And to the woman, he said, "Your faith has healed you," in verse 27 through 30a. He healed two blind men and told them, "According to your faith will it be done to you." They believed and received their sight. I've just been stressing to you that what Jesus did, and I want to end point one with Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. You know that there were many people at that time that weren't healed. You remember the time that he went to the pool of Bethesda, and there were people all around waiting for the water to move, and one person was healed. So many times we people who believe in divine healing get confused because God is God. And if we don't receive a healing, sometimes people condemn us. And this is wrong because many times in the Bible, people are not healed. Our oldest son, Kurt, who preaches in Haver, sent us a message that he preached, The Man Left Behind. And it was about people who did not receive healing, who were in these places where the Lord was at. So I pray that even though we're building our faith and we're going to believe Jesus for healings, we must not feel condemned, nor we must not get discouraged, because God has perfect timing and he has a perfect will, and none of us know what that is. We do know that he heals, and I'm going to close that one with that point. And point two, here we are. Jesus gave his disciples faith and power to do the same. So I trust that we built enough that you believe that Jesus went about healing. That was point one. That's what Jesus would do. Go about preaching the gospel and healing. And point two, he gave his disciples that authority and the demand to do it. And we're going to Matthew 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And then down to verse 7 and 8. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus calls and equips. That's what he does for us. In Luke 10:1, we're told Jesus sent out 72 others to do this same work. When they returned, you know, they were amazed at what God had done through them. And isn't it true so many times we pray for God to touch, to heal, and then when he does, we're amazed. We're amazed at what God does. And they were amazed. And we're going to Luke 10, 17 and 18 concerning these 72 that went out. Luke 10, 17 and 18. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He sent them out to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And they had done this. It was so miraculous. They're excited. They're filled with joy. When Jesus uses us to pray and he heals or delivers, we too should be very excited. We should not take it for granted. We should not take it as just commonplace. We need to remember, like Jesus says here, for a person to be saved is the greatest miracle of all. We lead a soul to Christ for eternity. That, he says, be thankful your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Leading others to the Lord comes along with praying for their divine healing. I'm going to take you to some other verses confirming that Jesus gave power and authority to his disciples to preach the gospel and to heal the sick, because this is our second point. He gave this authority to the disciples. Mark 3, 13 through 15. Mark 3, 13 through 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. They came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Mark 6, verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two, gave them authority over evil spirits. Mark 6, 12 and 13. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus' disciples healed the sick. Point 3. He left us instructions. Jesus left us instructions to heal the sick. We need to pay attention to that. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." With the power and the authority to give the gospel to others, to cast out demons, to speak in other tongues, to lay hands on the sick so they'll be healed, we're given also protection from venomous bites and the effect of poison as it is needed. When Dean, I think most of you know, our son Dean, he was on the drums and on the keyboard this morning. When he was 18 months old, we were stationed in San Antonio, Texas, and he was a toddler. And I was in the dining area, and I had to have a guy come in to work on the pipes under the kitchen sink because they needed to be changed because they were plugged up. And unbeknownst to me, of course, the guy pulled everything out from under that sink, which had, you know, been protected from the baby. And he had everything out laying around on the floor. And Dean, somehow, he's always had good hands to do mechanic things. And he opened a bottle of wax stripper and drank some. And he came to me and went, you know, and I could smell it. And I went and looked. And so you might not know it because you usually think of me as being very calm. But I can get hysterical. And I went to the phone and called the base hospital. And they began to tell me how to get him to throw up. And as I was on the phone with the baby in my arm and listening to them, the Holy Spirit just gave me peace and gave me this scripture. They shall drink any deadly thing and it will not harm them. And I knew that I knew he's all right. He never threw up. You know, God doesn't mean for us to go picking up snakes or drinking poison to find that out. But if such an accident happens, he promises that he'll take care of it. Amen. Yes. In Acts, the 28th chapter, Paul demonstrated the protection of these verses when a snake bit him as he was gathering wood. And all the people around there thought, he was on that boat as a prisoner, and he got free now, but he must be a really wicked person because this poisonous snake has bit him, and he's going to swell up and die. And Paul just shook the snake off. and went on about his business. And after a while, they said, whoa, he didn't swell up and die. You know, he must be a god. Well, of course, he clued them in. He wasn't, but he could pray for them and see healing done by the power of God. Point I want us to see is Jesus' words to us concerning divine healing. You will place your hands on the sick people and they will get well. That's in these verses, and you should have that marked in your Bible. As a Christian church was born on the day of Pentecost, Christians began to obey the instructions that Jesus left us. I'm going to read Acts 3, 1 through 8. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Peter and John knew that Jesus had left instructions for them, his disciples, to heal the sick. They did not attempt to do this on their own power and strength, and you must be careful that you never do. Think out of your own thoughts and your own power you can do this. Peter said, "What I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." That's where the power comes from. That's where your healing comes from. He was sure of the anointing. And you know, you will place your hands on the sick and they will be well. But people need to be very careful that they do not put any praise or glory on a person that prays for them. Every one of you sitting here can pray for the sick and see them healed. When we start to look at man for the power of God, we're in trouble. Always, always. You know, we've been singing most services, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." And that's so important that for all of this that I'm talking about, we turn our eyes on Jesus, not on man. Peter reached out his hand, he helped the man to stand, and instantly he, who was crippled from birth, received the strength in his feet, and he got excited about it. It's good to get excited about God healing you. Get excited about him saving you. We had a man in our church in New Hampshire. And we were in that church about 8 or 9 years. And at least once a year, he would get up and he would tell how God had healed his hands from, was it Lyme poisoning? Lyme poisoning. I should remember after hearing it all that time. And then he would sing a solo or a duet with another lady in the church. "He touched me." And I challenge you, if God has done a miracle, thank you, Larry, for standing and once again giving God glory, stand and tell what he's done for you. We're made overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So lots of times the enemy would kind of trip you up and say, "Oh, you weren't. It's in your head. You didn't get healed. You got a pain there or something." by the word of your testimony, you stand and give God praise for what he's done for you. Jesus wants us to reach out with healing to those who need it. The early Christians encouraged people to come for healing and to meet them with prayer and deliverance. Acts 5:12-16. Acts 5, verses 12 through 16. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at the least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. When people know that God is using a person, such as Benny Hinn, you can expect strange things to happen in a healing service. If it happened today that someone passed by your shadow and was healed by your shadow, can you imagine how much flack you'd get? And we're so afraid to let God move, however he will move. And let him heal, however he will heal. When people there heard that Jesus was healing, using Christians to pray for them, they came. And they'll come to our church too when they hear that God is moving in this place. We sang, Holy Spirit, be welcome here. Be welcome here. And if he is welcome here, he's going to move. The people's faith was so built up, they even believed the Lord would heal them if Peter's shadow passed over them. Have we gone to 3? Did I miss something? PowerPoint 3. Jesus left us instructions. We already did that, so we're good. You have to keep me straight. So Jesus healed. His disciples healed. And we are to heal the sick. Pray for them. James 5:15-13. And I want to close with this scripture, these scriptures. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. What would Jesus do? He would heal the sick. He would heal the sick. And that's what we want, is to let him have that opportunity. I'm going to ask Doug and Kevin to come forward and join me here at the altar. And if you want to have prayer for healing of any kind, I'm asking you to come up to one of us and be prayed for. So if you'd stand, that will help you to make your way up for prayer.